Cool. Go ahead.
Okay, welcome back to the forecast. At long last, the forecast.
4 weeks of vacation time? Sick days?
Yes, sick days.
Max that up, sick days.
Emergency relocations, transportation trouble, the whole thing.
It's been quite an upheaval. But, so, 4 weeks is a long time in our modern internet-driven world, and we all consumed a whole lot of comics and culture in that time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more comics and culture, I don't know. So we're going to talk about what you missed. Esther?
Okay, I've got one issue they missed.
All right.
Ultimate Captain America, number 4.
Yes.
I bought it.
Really?
Yes.
What did you think?
Well, okay, let's give the backstory. We were at our friend Lauren's
book release party.
Yes, that's it.
The Comic Book Guide to the Mission, which you can buy on Amazon right now.
Or at your local comic book store.
Yeah.
Possibly. Ask them probably before you go.
use the phone.
So we were at the party, and David was talking with someone else.
Josh Richardson.
Yes, about Ultimate Captain America 1-3 and the story. And they were like, "Oh, I love what's happening to Captain America now." I'm like, "What's happening to Captain America now?" "Oh, he's being tortured in Vietnam." I'm like, "How is that good?"
Like, tortured by the Vietnam Captain America of the Vietnam War.
Yes. And, well, now he's like a warlord in Vietnam, and he gave the super soldier serum to a bunch of kids. I'm like, that's not okay. Like, you don't understand. Captain America keeps getting away, and the kids keep beating him up and bringing him back.
This is a frighteningly accurate version of the conversation.
I'm like, that is a child soldier army. That is not good. And they're like, and he reads them from a textbook about Richard Nixon. I'm like, you don't think Cap knows about Richard Nixon? He's been out of deep freeze for like 10 years, and he never picked up an American history book. He's Captain America.
Well, they don't cover Nixon anymore. They got that taken out. It's just a 4-year blank.
Like, nothing happened there. Maybe he just saw Frost Nixon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That looked really long and really boring. So how did this turn into, like, a recommendation for you to pick up issue 4?
Well, issue 4 came out.
Yeah.
And I looked at it on the shelf. I'm like, okay, let's see. And first it does a little thing about the child soldiers. I'm like, you're right, Cap. And then he starts beating the crap out of the other Captain America. I'm like, good going, Cap. And then he's like, you idiot, don't you think I read about American history? I know about Richard Nixon. And I'm like, go for it, Cap, you tell him.
Yeah.
And finally at the end, it was like, you know what? Sold. Because Captain America was basically heckling everything that I was while you were talking about the comic. And I realize one other thing they were saying is that Ultimate Captain America has been a real jerk.
Yeah.
And so I realize it's kind of the equivalent of this guy being a jerk at a bar, and then someone turns around and, like, pushes him or punches him, and then he, like, punches them out, only you only come in where they're pushing him. So you're like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
And I realize that's happening, but I don't care.
It's
go
Esther.
Cap!
Esther stopped reading Ultimates, apparently right before Captain America, like, he beat up Hank Pym, and then everything after that is all, like, the racist, sexist stuff, so she missed all of it, somehow, some way.
I got a couple of trades, and then they're like, you know, the Hulk killed 500 people as a publicity stunt, and we somehow think it's bad that he gets put to death for that. I'm like, you know what? I disagree.
I will say Ultimate Cap 4, it was very good. Jason Aaron actually pulled it out in the end. Because my worry was, one, if Captain America loses, then it proves Nuke right that America's most evil place in the world. And if Captain America wins, then it proves Nuke wrong and America's not the most evil place in the world. And I feel like both are equally unacceptable. So Cap going...
You realize that's kind of a dichotomy, though.
But that's what they were setting
it
up in the book.
It cannot be the... No, if it's like the best place in the world or the most evil place in the world, I can understand that that's both wrong.
Well, slight hyperbole.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. But like if Cap wins, then it shows that America's, you know, a great place and Nuke's wrong to try to educate people. Mm-hmm. Instead, they were just like, he already knows because why wouldn't he? Which honestly was so obvious, I hadn't even thought about it. Like, I just took Nuke at his word that Cap didn't know anything. But yeah, that was pretty entertaining. And Ron Garney's art was horrifically violent. Doesn't he, like, make all the child soldiers back down at the end or something?
Yeah.
Like, they all have guns on him, and he's like, you just saw what I did. So, come on, kids.
He's like, anyone who keeps pointing a gun at me will be treated as an enemy combatant or something like that. And like, I don't think I want to do that.
Yeah, like, this guy knows Justin Bieber.
I would have liked it if he had pulled that out.
No, in the third issue.
You know what? Yeah, you showed me the third issue while we were at the book release party. And if he would have been like, so you've either got me fighting you or you meeting Bieber, because I do know him.
There was something like that in another Captain America comic. I forget if I mentioned it, but Mark Waid did
Wasn't
Man
Bieber
Out of Time.
Like about to fly out to meet with some high up guy in Israel about peace talks?
Oh,
or
yeah,
something?
And he was like, no. The handlers were like, no, we're not going to do that. Because either.
For crying out loud, really?
Like, it was someone involved in the peace talks, and the guy wanted to use it as a chance to be like, hey, look, you know, like, everybody's getting hurt, we should stop this. And also, so Bieber could throw peace signs or something, I don't know. And his handlers were like, no, sorry, it's too political. When I first saw it, someone linked it on Twitter, and they were like, you know, Bieber sticks it to the Zionist fascist somethings. And I was like, that doesn't sound right. And I
That's not the Bieber I know.
Like, yeah, exactly. I wish I could remember the actual substance of the story now, because, like everything Justin Bieber, it just, in one ear,
I
the other.
I have no idea. I just, the fact that that even occurred to anyone ever was just so shocking to me. But it seems to provide a good background for this story.
Yeah, I know.
They're
totally.
Like, no, Bieber will do what he can to help with the world. You, reform some child soldiers. I'm sure you can do it.
It turns out that the first... I actually found the story that I read somehow on Google. And Netanyahu canceled the meeting with Bieber, not vice versa. Which makes, like, saying Bieber sticks it to Israel, like, really, really disingenuous. It's like getting stood up for a date and being like, you know, I didn't like her anyway, and I was doing her a favor by going on this date. And, like, somehow that justifies everything. But, yeah.
Well, now we know his schedule's free, so...
Yeah. I wonder who's going to meet with instead.
All right, so that's my story from this last month.
What did I have?
David.
I read so many comics, I just can't keep track of them all. Actually, I'll talk about something not comics that I think is kind of interesting. I bought this book called Culture, which I didn't realize was designed to look exactly like a Bible when I ordered it. But it's by the designer Ryan Hughes, and it's about kind of how we communicate and like what culture is in the modern day. Mm-hmm. Just because the internet it's globalized, it's changed everything. You know, you get 15 seconds of fame on YouTube now instead of 15 minutes. So far, there's not really anything new in it. And it's, like, frighteningly over-designed, but it's really, really interesting the way he puts forth his, I guess, message. Or just the it's not even really a message so much as here are some things to talk about. Each idea gets one page, and then the facing page is, like, a visual representation. But it's kind of...
It looks like just a collection of quotes.
There are some quotes, but most of it's, like, original writing. But you know how, like,
there's a page where it's just like, this book is a meme carrier.
Yeah, I said it was really over-designed.
All right.
That counts. But, I mean, you know how, like, you can know something and be, like, really fond of it? Like, you feel like you have it well in hand. And mm-hmm. then someone introduces, or someone says it in a different way that you weren't expecting and kind mm-hmm. of readjusts what you were thinking. Like, this is, it feels like that sort of thing for me. Because they show, like, the evolution of letters, and then alongside it, the evolution of the trash can icon on macOS, and kind of how it's evolved over the last 20 years. And he used that to discuss the way, like, when we first come up with an idea, we represent it visually. Like, the original letters were pictures. Mm-hmm. And eventually they fade into letters, and now we're at a point where, if we wanted to, we could have something almost entirely picture-based. But because of the internet, you also have actual photographs and videos and audio. So it's much more rich than it could have been in the past. So representation gives way to, I guess, literalism is the best word. And then again, it becomes representative of something else. Like a QuickTime video window now means something that had no meaning before. But I'm doing a poor job of this way. But it's really, really interesting to just thumb through and pick a page. Every page is cross-referenced with three other pages on the bottom. There's a little footer of related ideas. And it's seriously about, like, it has twice as many pages as it needs. You know? But, I mean, it's really interesting to flip through and look at. And he runs the gamut from just, like, simple writing to religion to technology. He talks about sign language and how he relates that to the fact that everyone has created one font in their life, their handwriting, mm-hmm. and it's unique. It represents certain aspects of your personality. It's one thing that's distinctly you.
It kind of looks like a 5-year-old serial killer's.
Yours does?
Yeah.
That's slightly better than mine. Mine looks pre-verbal. But, and then, like, so that's on a very, like, person-to-person level. Then if you go up a level, like, each country has its own sign language. Like, there's Polish sign language, ASL, mm-hmm. Spanish sign language, and how that also reflects something about, yes, they are two black pages in the middle of the book. Mm-hmm. That also reflects something about the culture. Yes, there are two white pages. There's also a page where there's a lady, in a burqa, you can just see her eyes, and then you lift the page, and it's an old-timey photograph of a European lady with her mouth blacked out. And I think he's trying to make some type of point.
Right.
And then you turn the page again, and the blacked-out part is gone, and it's her tongue sticking out.
Okay.
It's very art school. But it's the sort of art school where it's like, hey, this is actually a nice way to read a lot, and, like, go on internet and find something new to read about this subject. As opposed to it just being just like a straight-up encyclopedia where it's very dry and boring. Mm-hmm. But I got it, I don't know, like a week ago? Thereabouts? I'm about halfway through. But it's all stuff that, it's almost
How do you get halfway through this?
Well, you know, you read a little bit at a time.
Okay.
Like over all lunch, right, or something. You don't read it like it's a novel because that's like one sitting, half an hour. But, like, think about what the stuff that it introduces, Google the different places and, you know, that kind of thing. But I really like over-design and everything. Like, I like the way he laid all the content out because, like, one page per idea lets you hit a lot of subjects. Mm-hmm. And you don't really, it's not an exhaustive book. Like, he's not explaining everything about how memes work. It's just, like, a meme is an idea. Here's a light bulb, you know. If you turn it to one of the pigtail light bulbs, like the green kind, mm-hmm. and use it to represent someone having an idea, it looks stupid because mm-hmm. those don't look like light bulbs. So why are old school light bulbs what we think of as being the only, like, real, authentic type of light bulb?
They won't be. In 10 years, we'll...
Can I see? Because he has, like, a whole list of symbols we've abandoned and others we've kept. Which, of course, I'll never be able to find while flipping through.
Nah.
That's always how it goes.
Okay, let's...
Oh, here we go. So he shows a Photoshop palette. And it asks, when was the last time you used any of these tools? And, like, other than a pointer finger, you know, like, it's probably been years for most of those. Like, an eraser, a L-square, But all those still mean something in our society. Like, who has ever in their life had to crop something outside of Photoshop?
I have. I was on a yearbook staff.
You did that by hand?
Yeah.
You're not that much older than me.
No.
You guys didn't even have, like, InDesign or anything?
No, we just... It was my middle school yearbook, if that helps. Okay. That makes me way older than you.
Back when computers were green.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, you had a little square.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. But, I mean, you see what I mean, though, about how, like, a lot of the stuff we use to represent ideas are decades old. Even, like, the barber symbol. Apparently, mm-hmm. barbers used to do bloodletting, and that's why there's the red and white on there. Which I didn't know. Maybe that's not true. Maybe I shouldn't believe it.
The barber pole?
Yeah, with the spiral. Hang on, I can pull up an image. But it's just a really interesting
way to... They also used to do castration.
Is that what the blue is for? Let's see. Yeah, so you've seen these before.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to quickly skim Wikipedia to see if they do bloodletting. Yeah, so...
I think it would be more interesting if you skimmed it to see if they did castration.
Actually, so they do bloodletting. That's what the red and white is for. And it was a representation of bloody bandages wrapped around a pole. Which is... It wouldn't fly today. But apparently, they're used for brothels in some parts of Asia.
What?
Yeah, in South Korea, barber's poles are used for actual barber shops and for brothels. Which I feel like is either really confusing or really awesome. I don't know, like at some point it became a euphemism.
Hmm.
Though I feel like also if it's on Wikipedia, then it's probably not that useful for your illegal acts. But, yeah, so that's Ryan Hughes' culture.
Like the red light outside of houses of ill repute, yeah.
Yeah, you're just calling attention to it at that point. You'd be better off with a sign saying there are no girls here.
Or, ooh, sneakers over a phone line.
That means something different everywhere else. I keep hearing that.
Though I heard it in, like, 10th grade or something. Yeah. It was like someone sells drugs under there.
I've heard that. I've also... Like, growing up, it was just someone got beaten up and their shoes were taken, and that was a dick move to do. Because you can't get those down, you know? And I definitely saw them in neighborhoods where no one was selling drugs.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like generally people who sell drugs are fine with coming up to you and being like, would you like some drugs? Not usually verbatim. I'm paraphrasing.
Sometimes they're slightly more specific. But then you got the entrepreneurs who have all of the drugs. Just in case, like, what kind do you want? I've got everything. Tylenol, crack.
I do like to picture them opening up their...
Like, trench coat?
Yeah.
And it's just a very small pharmacy. It's like, oh, my beakers are over here. I can actually mix you something new. Give me 5 minutes. But yeah, culture. It's on the cover of culture, there's a hyphen between the cult part and the year part, which I think is really kind of on the nose. And also there's a big book band that says ideas can be dangerous, which is also true. But it's kind of neat, like both as like an art. Ideas could totally be dangerous.
I'm reviewing things in my mind. Well, yeah, a lot of things can be dangerous if you call them... Use them stupidly.
Yeah. It doesn't say ideas can be... Or smart ideas can be dangerous.
Well, that just seems like a too broad a statement. That's like saying...
But I bet it sells books.
All right.
Like, that's...
Good for you.
That's the, what if Obama wasn't born in the United States of book cover quotes. It's like, geez, was he? I gotta find out. You know? But, so, what else did you do?
Well, no offense, but even whether he was or was not, which he was, I mean, we'll just get that out now. how would he know?
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, when he was being trained to be a Muslim Marxist terrorist, they would have told him his past. I mean, it's exactly like The Omen. So I got totally mad about that earlier this week on Twitter. Like, it started a bad day, and then it got worse. Because, like, I watched The Daily Show, and I was like, wow, that's really dumb. And I kept reading, and it was the day he revealed his birth certificate. And I was like, I can't believe today actually happened. And then it was just bad news after that. But someone on Twitter, I forget who now, was like, you know, this wouldn't have been a big deal if, like, Hawaii wasn't, like, this weird state that's not on the map with the rest of the states. Like, if he was born in Indiana, you know, like, people would go like, oh, well, yeah, he probably is American then. But Hawaii's just weird enough. Like, it's in that little box on the map with Alaska.
Well, okay, I was just like, oh, they're not going to let it go. I mean, yeah. Fine, release it. We're good with that. But then I read a Scientific American article, which showed studies from, like, way the hell back that really ticked me off.
Yeah.
That showed that white Americans would automatically rate anyone who wasn't white as less American than Europeans. And I mean actual Europeans. So they rated Hugh Grant as more American than Michael Chang. He was like a tennis player. I have never heard of him, but he was American. And they knew he was American. They just rated him as less American.
Well, Hugh Grant was in all of those fantastic movies.
And then they rated President Obama, well, then Senator Obama, as less American than Senator McCain.
Yeah.
But they also rated him as less American than Tony Blair.
Where do they even find people for polls?
I know.
I rarely watch political stuff because I get just angry every single time. And that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's like how
I sometimes wonder if they do, like, manage it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, you look angry. Come with me.
I mean, like, if you go on The Daily Show, like, as one of their segments, and you say something super racist, do you not know what The Daily Show is at this point? Like, are they signing up, like, yes, we're a representative of a Viacom News TV show, and just never say their name? Because, like, John Oliver is clearly a comedian.
Yeah.
Man, that that is just so funny. Like, at a certain point, it's, like, offensive and awful, and then you're like, oh, life. If I don't laugh, I'm seriously going to murder somebody.
Just my veins are going to leap out of my temple. And
yeah, just my entire central nervous system is going to exit. Oh, that's what they mean by getting on your last nerve.
All right, so we suddenly took a turn for the political.
Yes. What did you do on...
Okay, next one. Still political.
All right.
Superman issue, or Action Comics issue 900, where Superman declares that he's officially not American.
I didn't want to read it first because I'm not reading Superman, and then I read it, and I regretted every second.
Okay, I got it because I was reading the Paul Cornell Lex Luthor run, and that's the last part of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is going to be on the news.
They totally got you with that, too, because there's, like, Doomsday stories every two pages, and then there's, like, three stories you didn't want to read at the end.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, the Ryan Soup one with Jor-El was, like, really, really well drawn.
Jor-El and the baby Superman and Supergirl. Toddler girl.
He's telling the guy, like, I need you to fit life support into this little ball. And the guy's like, that's weird, why do you want that? And he's like, well, the planet's going to explode and we're all going to die. And the guy's like, oh, well, can I say goodbye to my daughter first?
No.
Like, it kind of made Jor-El look like a jerk, but it was it was very, very well drawn in the process. Unlike all the Doomsday stuff. Was, holy crap. But yeah, you were saying.
But yeah, I got to that, I'm like, oh, that is clearly just trying to tick someone off. I'm gonna count down until someone's talking about it.
Yeah.
5, 4, 3. Oh, there we go.
You know, I bet it's up to 2,000 comments on the Comics Alliance post right now. So, if you missed...
2,000?
Yes.
Holy crap.
I'm going to double check. Oh, 2,159 as of 1 in the afternoon on Saturday. So, Laura Hudson was on Fox and Friends this morning. Like, because of this story.
Oh my god, I have to see that.
I missed it. Like, I'm hoping they'll put up a video feed or something.
Then it's Fox and Friends.
Oh, no, so. Gretchen Carlson is like a loathsome human being. She just, I think it was late last week, like this 8-year-old boy got pepper sprayed by cops because he was acting out. And she was like, well, that's discipline, it sounds like to me. So, like, come on. Like, this is Fox's rookie team. Clearly too dumb to be on any other show. But yeah, it's even the way that the story was set up, they made it as boring as possible. Because it's not about Superman giving up his citizenship, it's about Superman telling someone. Excuse me. It's about him telling someone that he's giving up his citizenship tomorrow. And like, and then we get a flashback to a protest, and then it's over. But the thing is...
So it's the next issue where he's gonna...
No, there's no next issue. It's like an 8-page backup and anniversary book.
But
by the guy who's doing the Superman movie.
It's an ongoing book.
Yeah.
So,
but the ongoing stories,
like,
of Lex Luthor, Superman stuff.
No, the Lex Luthor stuff is done.
Really?
That was the last issue.
So
which
then
means,
Doomsday's next.
I guess so.
Ooh.
I'm not going to be seeing it.
Yeah.
But
no, there's like no indication this is going to continue in any book ever.
But I mean, they kind of have to, otherwise Superman's like, I'm going to do this tomorrow. Well, it looks like tomorrow never came.
Yeah, I don't
they
know.
They have to follow up on it somehow.
Like, I honestly have no idea what's going on.
All right.
But even just, it's like he gives up his citizenship, which, one, I swear he's done this before. Or maybe he took over the world or something.
He's a fake person.
Yeah, he's already an illegal immigrant.
No, I mean, he's a fake person. Nobody thinks he's just Superman.
Yeah, but he's an American icon.
That's
and we
gotta true.
Protect our American
and
icons.
His whole thing is truth, justice, and the American way.
Yeah.
Or the
and
traditional
I think in the
one.
Story he's like, that's not enough, truth, justice, and the American way. But, so like, say if we were hated enemies, and like, you were Queen of England, and I was in the United States Army.
Okay.
And I go over to England, and I just start punching people out in bars, and I'm like, you know what, I'm not an American anymore, so don't start a war. Like, I still am obviously American and in the Army. You know, you're not just going to go like, oh, well, he said no, so I guess we just can't, you know, start launching bombs. Because this is literally how wars work in real life. Like, if you get on TV and you're like, I'm a citizen of the world, everyone goes, aha, yeah, that's true, but, you know, we know where you grew up.
Yeah.
We're not just going to take you at your word. That's ridiculous. And also, this is more proof that, like, the closer superheroes get to actual political stuff, the worse they look.
Yeah.
Because this was him in the Iran protest. I don't know if it was supposed to be last year's or if there were some new special ones that I missed.
Yeah.
And he stands in solidarity with the protesters for 24 hours, not moving a muscle or saying a word, and he gets Molotov cocktails thrown at him, people throw flowers at his feet, they throw green sashes. So it must have been like the last run of Iran protests. And then, like, as he leaves, a protester hands a rose to a soldier who has his gun up, but the soldier takes the rose instead of shooting the protester. And that was pretty much my response. Like, I can't believe someone actually wrote this, and someone else approved it, and then a third person drew it, and a fourth person published it.
It's just... I can see the desire to make Superman relevant to the modern world, but he can't be.
Yeah.
Because... that doesn't work. Like... I'm sorry, I can see why, like, an ordinary person standing, saying nothing with protesters helps, but Superman, you can just take the people's guns.
Yeah.
Like, if you believe it's wrong. Or, ensure, he can do pretty much everything.
Yeah, he could probably overthrow a country in, like, maybe half an hour, 45 minutes. And that would be the end of it. And I think he says in the story, like, whenever I try to get into simpler issues, like hunger or poverty, it never works out well. And I'm thinking, you know what, Superman, that's true. Like, so stop, please.
Yeah.
Just
fight space things. Monsters.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And maybe one or two stories a year that's, like, very carefully set up a metaphor for something else.
Yeah.
But, like, but don't go to Iran.
No.
Maybe...
or Detroit, or anything. You need to be punching space monsters.
Yeah. It's just, man, I don't know. Did you catch the twist in that Doomsday story?
That there are a lot of Doomsdays?
Yeah. It was set up to be a big surprise in the book, but I guess I got an email. that was my phone's text thing, if you couldn't hear it. But anyway, like, all the characters are running around, they're like, you know, what's going on? We just fought Doomsday 30 seconds ago, and he's already back, and he looks different. Like,
that's
Steel is supposed
Doomsday.
To be a scientist, you know? And, like, Cyborg Superman's walking around all like, you know, I found a secret, but you guys gotta follow me to find it. And they're like, well, what about all these Doomsdays that are chasing us? You know, like, obviously, there's more than one. Come on. Yeah. What? What did I do positive over the last 30 days, other than get really sick and turn into a big fat baby?
Well, Zombie 2 came out this week.
Zombie 2?
X-O-M-B-I-E.
I was thinking, wait, I don't like The Walking Dead. That wouldn't be very positive at all. But yeah, that's, I liked it.
See, that's the problem with good stuff.
Yeah. No, it was pretty much exactly what I expected. Plenty of, like, fun new ideas. Mm-hmm. And I like how they're just kind of throwing you into it.
And I love the art.
Yeah, no, Fraser Irving is fantastic.
I still want a big, long Clarion Witch Boy series with him.
I liked how...
him writing, or drawing, Paul Cornell writing.
There was something I really liked about this one. Oh, the monster that's like the personification of God's wrath. Mm-hmm. And how he was... We're just going to ruin the end of the book here. But they rescue someone who had been turned into a Mr. Hyde from the novel. Mm-hmm. And instead of like Mr. Hyde turning into like this small, nebbishy, boring guy, he turns into a bigger monster. So that like Mr. Hyde becomes the Jekyll and then the monster is the new Hyde. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really, really clever. Well, not... No, I'll go with clever. But I liked it, no matter what actual thing it's supposed to be. And it's, like, the tone is perfect. Like, it's this right air of, like, detached amusement and horror at the same time. The monsters are cool. Like, the villain, we don't know anything about yet, but he's still being rolled out in such a way that, like, we're growing, as mm-hmm. opposed to him just jumping out and being like, here's my big bad plan.
Yeah.
Which bugs me so much.
Let's see how he reacts to this little ploy.
Yeah, like books where people just monologue to themselves or servants or heroes. Like, shut up. No one does this. Like, I get why they did it when comics were for kids, because you gotta explain stuff. Mm-hmm. And I get why they kept doing it into the 70s and 80s, because, you know, like, tradition. You kinda wanna reclaim mm-hmm. the old styles. Mm-hmm. But at this point, just give it up. Like, Lex Luthor does not need to say, here is exactly what I did, and why I did it, and here's what I'm going to do to you.
I still hate Superman.
Like, I hate that guy so much. I went out and bought a new robot suit from so-and-so and so-and-so. Like, come on. But no, Zombie's great. Like, I'm very... It's one of the precious few, like, main DC comics I'm buying now. It's not mm-hmm. like Vertigo or something. And it's got, like, pretty much the exact tone I wanted out of that sort of comic. Just deeply weird. You got anything left? Anything else?
I'm suggesting everything.
You're in charge.
All right. Culture, 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 culture. Okay, here's one that's relevant to the internet itself.
Uh-oh.
It's a big, long lecture I listened to by Harvard professor Larry Lessig.
Okay.
who said basically scientific journals should be should not be subject to copyright, because copyright is meant to protect creators, not publishers. And the scientists in the journals want to, they're not making any money off of it.
Yeah.
And they want to make sure their work gets to the widest possible available audience.
Mm-hmm.
And restrictions on this greatly influence the public's knowledge of science.
Mm-hmm. It sounds fair.
But, okay, going on to a different part, though, he talks about how this can be accomplished mostly online, and how the internet... He goes back to how John Philip Sousa hated the phonograph.
Okay. It's not a name I was expecting.
Or the Victrola, or whatever, record player, where he says, back in my day, you could see young people gathered outside singing the songs of the day, and now all they're doing is gathered around that infernal machine.
Yeah, that's when Sousa invented high school bands.
And how the internet is kind of going back to amateur creators.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it started out as just ways to consume opinions, and now that it's gotten user-friendly through, like, journaling sites or blog sites or music remixing, podcasts, YouTube.
Like, it's all very democratic.
Not really democratic, but it's all very... People are able to create for themselves and share it with a large number of people. A kind of community of people.
Mm-hmm. And someone disagreed with what he was saying?
No, it was a lecture, so no one could interrupt him.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like he's right. Though, like, there's that huge aspect of science that's, like, if you're part of, like, a medical company, for example, and mm-hmm. you have some breakthrough and you publish it, and I assume if you have copyright on what you publish, then whatever you came up with is yours? Like, you can...
Well, they don't really...
Exploit it however you want?
Medical companies don't publish the details, the technical details of what they did. Like, they have to make it known to the FDA.
Yeah.
And they have to make the results of their trials known. But...
Did you hear about the fake company that the FDA was using?
Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Also incredibly depressing. But yeah.
But this is like... A lot of this stuff is publicly funded work, too.
Hmm. Yeah, so, that does make it... So it should technically be owned by the people.
It could... Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, top secret stuff. Pentagon.
Yeah.
That stuff shouldn't be. Probably shouldn't be published, but...
They declassify those after a certain amount of years.
Yeah.
When it's safe, or when all the people who could be fired and tried for whatever they did are dead.
Well, I mean, technical knowledge...
Yeah.
People catch up to it, and then there's no point in holding it back anymore. Although they did release... how to make a nuclear bomb publicly at the time.
How did that work out for him?
Actually, it's really, really hard to make a nuclear bomb. And other people could figure it out anyway.
Like, the science was already there. It was just bridging the
gap. I mean, they waited until after the friggin' war was over.
Yeah.
But I think they published it in, like, the 50s. But...
It's kind of funny how that led to... Or I guess it was probably a big part of, like, the hysteria of, like, you got suitcase nukes and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, every Tom Clancy novel. Like, anybody with half a brain who somehow knows, like, a former, KGB guy who has just a pocket full of uranium you can put into a bomb. And, like, it's really not that simple. Otherwise, there would have been a lot more atomic explosions over the years.
Also, apparently, they expire.
Nuclear bombs?
Yeah.
They have, like, a half-life.
Enough of them decay that they don't work anymore or don't work as effectively.
Yeah. Well, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Wait, how long does that take, though?
It takes a while. It takes several decades.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say
it's not like milk.
Years. It's like, oh, I just got this one. Or like judging
just
2 or 3 days
sniff.
After the best fight. It's like, I think this one's still okay. It's only 2 days past.
I told you to refrigerate it.
Man, yeah, copyright's really interesting. And I guess aside from the scientific stuff, like, you can't really make money without it. Mm-hmm. Just because you have to be able to exploit what you own, like, however you like.
That's the law, idea behind copyright law.
Yeah, and then at a certain point, it belongs to everybody.
It is. In order for anyone to be able to create professionally, it is necessary that they control their intellectual property.
Though I think now it's, like, thanks to Walt Disney and Sonny Bono? They had the copyright extension for Mickey Mouse because he was going to expire, and now, like, it's 93 years or something insane like that?
Like, after they die, too.
Yeah. Like, so basically, copyright is forever now, and it'll keep getting extended.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, which I think sucks, personally.
Eventually, it'll snap back.
Yeah. We'll see. But that's, I feel, is that, was that
you know
a
what?
TED Talk
I would
or?
Even be willing to be like, you know what, Disney, take it. Friggin' take it. Take Mickey Mouse forever.
Yeah.
Seriously. Leave actual sweeping copyright law alone. Because you're, like, hurting a lot of other people.
Give them,
at
like,
this
one
point.
Amendment just for all of their characters.
Yeah. Just enjoy. Part of your world. It's now yours forever.
Disney just needs to become like a separate country, a city-state.
I heard they had something like the fourth largest navy on the planet.
Jeez.
That's ridiculous.
And it's all staffed with animatronic pirates.
But yeah, you know what? Fine. Take Superman, Warner Brothers, and Batman.
Yeah.
And Disney take Mickey and Minnie. No, I mean, no one makes money on Mickey Mouse anymore.
Really?
Well, I imagine they could
sell
the
toys. Well, other than it's like a symbol of Walt Disney, yeah.
Yeah, but take
it's
the...
It's all Princess and Pixar now.
Lion King. Just, it's yours. Forever. Until the sun explodes. Oh, that's not enough? Fine, more than that.
A week after it explodes. Just in case. Yeah,
but it's, stop messing up the copyright system.
Like, I really like the idea of being able to contribute something to the culture and still have a roof over my head.
Yeah.
Just, like, I feel like that's, like, the platonic ideal of, I don't say, like, a civilized society, but just, like, society is that you put in what you put in and you can live your life, you're happy, and then when you're done, someone else can enjoy what you created.
Yeah.
Maybe not how you intended or how you even liked, but it's what you created is still, like, a part of the culture. Just because it's... Like, they say everyone gets 15 minutes of fame, but sometimes, like, one-hit wonders have really, really good songs.
Yeah.
And I have so many dumb songs on my iTunes that, like, one day I hope to be someone else's dumb song. So was it like a TED Talk that this guy was at, or just a college lecture?
It was CERN, C-E-R-N.
Oh, are there the, LIHC. No, wait.
CBRY. NLTS. I'm just saying letters.
Large Hadron Collider. LHC. LIHC is Long Island Hardcore, which is okay. That's really interesting that he would give that there. Because I guess that's like, I guess it's it. My understanding is, like, not a science guy who just kind of watches the news sometimes, reads the news. I haven't watched the news in forever. Is that that's like the bleeding edge of scientific research right now, looking for the Higgs boson?
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Wow. And it's sort of like someone standing up, like, at the first Beatles show and going, like, music needs to be better. And then, like, as a result, you know, music got better.
Yeah, I think his idea is if science is released and actual technical papers are released in their full detail to the public, then obviously not everyone, but people will be able to do their own remixes, they'll be able to do their own research at home the way
I think
people can now remix stuff on YouTube.
Like, the internet proved that everybody's a lot smarter than we all expected, you know? Just because there are so many people...
Also a lot stupider, though.
Yeah.
It's the difference between the blog and the comment section.
Every cloud
not fourth
has its
letter
silver
people.
Lining.
You guys are okay.
But, I mean, like, there are tons of tremendously talented people who maybe didn't go to journalism school or music school or whatever, and the internet gave them a platform, and, like, it's not... I don't want to be like, if you build it, they will come. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's nice to be able to have that opportunity if you need it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I am pro whatever that guy said without even listening to his entire speech.
All right. And we're at minute 45,
yes.
So...
So that covers 30 days of culture and high-flying action.